Okay, anyway. Welcome to the internet, live from my bedroom in beautiful Salt Lake City, from one place for the first time in... Okay, hello, normal talking now. Very normal talking. Ooh la la.
You sound like the Utah Lake advertisements.
Welcome to the internet, live from my bedroom in beautiful Salt Lake City, and all in one place for the first time in, how long has it been, like 2 years?
Yeah, my 2 year absence.
2 year absence.
Yeah. Sabbatical.
Sabbatical's a better word.
In Logan?
It's like a polio retreat. Polio retreat. It's not bad, but you're there because you have polio.
This is the Red Line Podcast. I'm your host, quote, 10,000 Lakes, unquote, Dunstan, and these are my co-hosts.
Kyle, quote, let's take this offline, close quote, Holland, and...
Alex, quote, in Salt Lake now, I guess, close quote, Fielder.
You don't sound that excited.
No, I'm excited. I like my place.
Wow, there's no lag when I'm talking to you.
It's on Redacted Street, on Redacted and Redacted.
4217 South 3rd East.
Yeah, Alex actually lives in Murray, but technically has a Salt Lake address because long live the grid.
Anyway, this time on the Redline Podcast, we're renewing a Redline classic by heading back to St. Louis. Or St. Louis, if you want to be technical.
I don't think it's St. Louis.
Ah, everyone calls
it St. Louis.
He called
it that the entire time.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Okay. Yeah. Throwback.
Anyway,
throwback.
St. Louis, good friend. What's going on with Metrolink? And why are we talking about this again? All this after the news.
I like how you laugh through. Why are we talking about this again?
Why are we talking about this
again? And the answer is two reasons. Number one, I'm going to St. Louis for a conference on Sunday, and I wanted to talk about it because I've been sort of Google Maps filming Metrolink, as one does, and also because I had a very busy week, and I did not particularly want to write a whole-ass new episode.
So is this like a different subset of like the history of St. Louis? Are we like adding new information?
There is lots of new information, but also the same information.
Yeah. I know, I'm having fun. I'm just happy to be here.
Alex, quote, like always. I'm just happy to be
we
here.
We have chemistry.
In person only.
In person.
Chemistry.
Oh,
like
yeah. We're supposed to be
White.
Doing the news now.
Yeah.
The Washington Metro is operating entirely using automatic train operation for the first time since following the success.
Wow.
For the first time since 2009. I forgot to put 2009 in there. We're gonna
2009 A Space Odyssey.
We're gonna do that again. It's 2001 A Space
2009
Odyssey.
2009 A Financial Crash.
Oh my gosh.
That was 2008. The Washington Metro is operating entirely using automatic train control for the first time since 2009, following the successful rollout of ATO to the Red Line in December. Agency executives hope that this will make for safer and more reliable rides for passengers. But it has an even more important benefit, increasing WMATA's speed. Maximum train speed will be increased from 55, a low top speed mandated by the lack of ATO, to 65 and 75 on some stretches of the outer system. This is a huge win for passengers and operational integrity, and is expected to begin shaving down travel time by the end of the month.
You should see the charts. They've like chipped away little bits from every single part of the schedule, like parts between stations where the speed goes up, dwell time at stations, end of line turnaround time, because you know the operator has to walk from one end to the other, the computer does not. So they've chipped away at all the little bits, and then the whole schedule just gets like substantially shorter.
Do we know how much shorter it is between the two end of lines? Like, if you were riding all the whole line.
They said,
line.
Like, 3 to 5 minutes initially, but they're hoping to, like, increase that.
This even is 3 to 5 minutes, that's...
Is something, yeah. Right.
This is one of those things you do have to test in the real world, because when you try and cut padding out of the schedule, like dwell time and end of line, you will quickly find how much padding you actually needed and how much of it was just...
Well,
like,
look,
for the human.
And WMATA has just god-awful dwell times because of how they do doors, so...
Doors come up again.
What, do they just, like,
They are known for sitting for a really long time in the station before opening the doors.
Maybe the computer will do a good job at this.
Hopefully.
Although, here in the great state of Utah, with our amazing high-quality metro system, we seem to be just fine at opening doors, so...
As we've established...
Yeah, but our doors are all in the wrong place, and therefore...
That's another problem.
Well, computers don't solve all the problems, as we've discovered today.
Yeah, AI is evil, guys.
That's it not has where Satan I was going with that. But...
The Redline podcast.
The Pope said this, by the way.
Except it's just AI. Oh, he said that?
The new
he
one? Did.
What, the new Pope said that, at the White Sox that AI stadium? Is evil. No, I... not at the White Sox Aww. Game, just sort of in passing.
That's not going to be very base popular.
Pope, base Pope.
Well, good.
It's a fine take with me. And...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. The Pope is correct about something for the first time in history.
Wow.
That's an interesting take.
AI is biblically evil.
It is. Jesus 43:7, thou shalt not make unto an image of man computer.
It's the false idol of, in the computer.
Definitely. I mean, I do know of some people... Well, actually, sort of know some people who think that they're prophets because of AI. So, because they've been talking to it, and then it will tell them that they like are talking to God.
You know these people personally, or
one person I sort of know personally, personally, and like we were in a Discord server for a while, and we're sort of internet friends.
See, I have a roommate, not the current roommate, because that's my fiance,
ex-roommate,
old roommate, who I could see falling for that. Like, very easily.
No, they think they're the second coming. That is very bad.
The second coming of water onto your laptop?
They think they're the second coming of the prophet Elijah and that their partner is Jesus.
Is their name Elijah?
No.
This person? Okay. Because...
This is fine. This is fine.
We're getting you a little table next time.
This is fine.
You sure. can take my list of tables.
Okay. Crisis averted.
I don't...
For those at home who cannot see what is happening, I spilled my water bottle onto my very expensive MacBook.
Fun. Is it sizzling yet?
No, it's fine.
Is Jesus coming out yet?
I don't know.
No.
Damn.
Because Jesus is not in the computer.
No.
Oh, right. We were just talking about that.
Yes, but this person thinks that they are the second coming of the prophet Elijah, that their partner is the second coming of Christ, and that God is mandating lesbianism. I'm not kidding.
Okay, so there's upsides and downsides to AI, you're saying.
No, I'm saying...
It sounds like all downsides, but...
I have not heard a single upside yet. Oh, it's going to replace jobs. Bad. Oh, it's... Turning people into insane fake prophets. Bad. Oh.
But it can take the background out of your Zoom video.
It's destroying
video.
The environment.
Yeah,
right?
It can, yeah. It yeah, can yeah. help you code mildly quicker. Because mildly.
So anyway, news item number 2. Alex moved to Salt Lake, but we already talked about that.
Yeah, so catch me at the next
432 South, 14th East. Okay, this has been news.
I'm enjoying Alex and I's double-ended microphone.
It is kind
of
ridiculous.
Yeah, this is like
ridiculous.
A spit roast of, of recording.
Should we, since it'll be short, should we celebrate Alex moving back to Salt Lake and us all being in the same room?
By together? Bitching about Salt Lake?
No, by answering our Ask Us Anything
I do,
request.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, we can do And I do have some stuff to complain about already. But
yeah, we'll have a Salt Lake complaining segment in the podcast soon.
Well, let's get through this then, since we're just nerding out about St. All Louis right. again, because I felt like it.
Okay. So this is our Redline and Frontrunner patrons speaking through my voice here. Y'all can submit questions.
I thought we were doing afterwards.
I also thought it was Redline and Frontrunner, because there are only 2 questions.
Oh, screw off. Oh, well, I was thinking it would be a good segue from talking about Alex moving to Salt Lake, and also there are 2 questions, so it'll take 5 seconds.
No, yeah. I want to do it at the end.
Okay, we can do it at the end.
We can do it at the end, and then you can cut it forward.
So,
just to spite Sophie.
Fuck you. I will listen to this episode specifically to make sure you don't do that.
Cap.
That is fake news. Streetcar service began in St. Louis in 1859.
Wait, we didn't end the news.
Oh, yeah. This has been the news.
I should have brought my hammer. Do-do-do-do-do.
Do.
Next time I'm bringing a hammer.
Yeah, hit me on the head.
It's not that long.
And then it'll go, ow.
We should get a
gavel. We should get a gavel. We can sort of gavel the Red Line podcast into session. We're going to use Robert's rules from now on.
That would actually be a pretty funny episode.
So, streetcar service began in St. Louis in 1859, just before the outbreak of the Civil War, using, of course, my very favorite type of streetcar, the horse car. And I would like
what, the ones that slide down the hills and gore the horses?
Yes, I would like to suggest that we return to horse, and I mean this somewhat unironically.
I would like to suggest that we maybe don't.
Yeah.
Why? For the safety of the horses.
Maybe
if we put brakes in the streetcars, it'd be fine.
No, not on the streetcars. I don't want the horse on the streetcars.
You just want
no, you put electric, a brake on the
electric
streetcar.
Traction is provably better than
wait
horse traction.
A horse electric streetcar. Wait, the horse spins a wheel, which powers the electric motor.
No, I was just suggesting that we like get rid of cars and use horses instead.
Oh,
release okay. The wild horses into downtown Salt Lake.
I think that would be great.
Return to sidewalks being to keep you out of the shit.
Yes, exactly. Or we just pay a guy to pick it up.
Mmm. Jobs.
Yeah, and in the AI era, you know, everybody needs a menial job to serve our AI overlords.
Just learn to pick up horse shit.
Instead of learning the code. You can't do that anymore because AI does it now. But you can learn to pick up horse crap because AI still can't do that.
I don't think it ever will.
No.
Until Terminator comes out.
So lines were continually built and expanded for the next several decades, with the first cable-hauled line, because we all did this for some reason, opening in 1886, which was almost immediately replaced by electric streetcars in 1889, because as it turns out, cable haulage sucks.
I didn't think there were any like hills to even need cable haulage.
There are some hills, but everyone just kind of did it anyway, because it was the thing to do.
It was the Schwebe of the 1880s.
I think it was more like the monorail. Okay. Like, very good in very specific circumstances,
okay. But
otherwise terrible.
Me, when I'm crisscrossing my grid city with 27 different streetcar lines, and the cables go under and over each other based off of some arcane system of who was there first.
I love this map, by the way, of, like, all the different systems of streetcars.
Holy hell, do you think they have enough?
No.
Oh, okay.
They might downtown.
But... More.
Yeah.
Like, okay, how... I gotta be honest with you guys. How was this ever profitable? Because presumably people were making money off this. But if there's a streetcar in literally every street, how is anyone making money?
Well, for one, they're not making very much money. For two, they're cheating by, you know, abusing their labor and everything else in between. And for three, you can look profitable for a few years just on excess capital from your parent company and then collapse because you were never profitable. That's always an option. Still puts you on the map.
Okay, Silicon Valley.
This is also when like rich people were kind of cool and they actually just built stuff.
Interesting.
Instead
like,
of hoarding money.
So you mean they built like giant like parks and like mansions and stuff out in the wilderness and like built libraries and cities and like gave money to things
and they mildly
and established universities. Well, there's this idea called noblesse oblige, which we have which is the obligation of the nobility to like, you know, help the poor. And instead of doing that, now we're just evil.
Yeah, we're just hoarding wealth like that duck's uncle.
You know, Andrew Scrooge. Carnegie was a literal robber baron. And we all look at him fondly because he built the American public library system and several universities and things.
See, that's the only way to be, like, recognized as good. Like, you can do the most evil thing. Like, you can torture people for money. But as long as that money goes to, like, build a hospital, hey, you're a hero.
I love to go to the Jeff Bezos public fountain in downtown Salt Lake City.
The public bathhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we going to do that, though? No, because they're all boring losers, except Bill Gates, who I guess is, like, curing polio or something.
He's still kind of creepy, though.
Oh, yeah.
The Jeff Bezos public pissing Gatorade bottle in downtown Salt Lake.
It's a really big Gatorade bottle. You have to get up on top of the Wells Fargo building and sort of pee off the side.
It's like a water
if
tower.
If you're a woman, there's a sort of like...
a sheepie. A communal sheepie.
Oh, man, why do we ever record online? So, bustitution.
Bus prostitution, you said the line.
This is prostitution of our transit systems.
Yeah, which is
oh, okay. My God.
We're sex positive here.
You're sex positive. I'm sex negative. I'm not affirming. I think everyone should be ashamed of their sexuality, especially straight people.
Is this suddenly not a safe space?
This is not a safe space. This is my bedroom.
I'm sex neutral. Sex agnostic.
Ah, so this is like one of those political debates on CNN where we have a Republican, a moderate, and a center, or a Republican, a centrist, and a Democrat.
Oh, yes, me when I go out on the streets and find a Democrat. There just exists this, like, ideal median Democrat that will just wave to you nicely
like
as you
I
walk by.
I feel like I am the ideal median Democrat.
No, you have, like, nuances and views and thoughts in your head. If you try to take the median of...
I feel like a suburban wine mom who is definitely the median Democrat.
Okay.
Has plenty of thoughts
you can
in her
get
head.
Somewhere with the demographics.
Is afraid to vote for a Democrat because... Actually, never mind.
No, suburban wine moms vote overwhelmingly for Democrats these days.
It must be the wine.
It must be chlorinated. Something's in the wine.
It's because they're educated and the only polarization metric that matters anymore is education.
Rest in peace, education.
Yeah, actually. So, bustitution of lines began in the 1920s and continued unabated until May 21st, 1966, when the very last streetcar on the 15 Hodiamont, what a name for a street, by the way,
real
line made its last run.
Maybe not surprising that it started in the 1920s, looking at this map and the sheer density of streetcar lines.
I would say that maybe they should have bustituted at least a little bit here.
Did we already mention the 485 miles of streetcar lines?
Oh, yeah, there were 485.
1,600 streetcars in daily operation.
You have to remember that St. Louis was at one time a rival with Chicago for being America's second city.
Oh, see, that I did not know.
There were like I want to say like 800,000 people in St. Louis in like the 1920s.
Compared
to 300,000 now.
I was going to say, in my headcanon, St. Louis is not very big.
It's not. It's like a Portland.
But back in the day.
It's kind of cute.
It's like Pittsburgh, basically.
Yeah.
But back in the day, it was like a titan of the American city. One of the most important cities in the world,
yeah,
you know.
Important city for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be noted that this was very unpopular. Because by the time it was like the late 1960s, people were like, hey, maybe we should keep these things.
Woke.
Just like every other city.
Because they were already having traffic problems, naturally.
Not surprising.
And Route 15 no longer exists. Very Woo! Sad.
Yay!
That's kind of an L. I like cities like San Francisco that like it's keep so... their antique lettering.
So unbelievable. I have a map of this that I just pointed to for my co-host.
We've got to put physical maps in the in
yeah,
the podcast.
Yeah, put a map of Mail Uni in the podcast. But yes... I think that that is the coolest thing in the world. I think we should return to that. So anyway. The Bi-State Development Agency took over transit operations in Greater St. Louis in 1963 and has continued to operate them to the present day. I do love agencies that are called this. I think that probably Portland should get a Bi-State Development Agency.
In Phineas and Ferb, canonically, does the tri-state area represent any particular tri-state area?
I watched a video.
I just watched an hour-long video about how Danville is actually Salt Lake City.
Bruh.
I don't quite buy it.
I buy it fully. Yeah. I believe it 100%.
The one thing that got me was the map lined up perfectly with like
with
a little bit of salt on the...
What
yeah,
are the two the other Basin. States in the tri-state area that are within an Ader range?
Presumably this is an alternate history where Utah is not one state.
Well,
and they talk about the quad state area, which is the Four Corners.
Yeah, which is close by.
Yeah.
Okay, that is pretty far. That's
I can't believe we both watched it.
Because it's going around at the moment. It's becoming a viral video essay. Kyle's like, whatever, fuck this shit. I didn't care about this. I meant to delete this. So service continued in a mostly unchanged and not particularly good manner until the 1990s, when a new development was to forever alter public transportation in St. Louis.
Foreshadowing.
The other Metro Link.
And we'll talk about that in the next episode. Hold on for part two.
I thought that was episode 126.
No, this is a joke because we're 25 minutes in.
Are we?
Yeah.
We're gonna get done.
We're not gonna cut and make the poor viewers go watch a part
There's
two.
Not that much left. We're gonna get through this.
And we're I'll
what
split
time
this into part
do
two
we need
just
to be done
evil.
By?
11:20.
You can also split up the questions.
Oh, we have so much time.
Okay.
You can do one question per section.
By 1990, the light rail fad was in full swing across North America. Everybody wanted in, and St. Louis was no exception. Exception. I think that St. Louis perfected the concept, though. BDSA.
BDSA.
A.
Uh-huh.
A. There is no other acronym that shares the first three letters of that.
I wonder what the A would mean,
the three
canonically.
Sure, like getting hit. Oh my gosh.
Okay, sure.
I can, that's good.
So the planners who are like.
They're looking for a way to improve public transit for some reason.
Woke.
And they decided on light rail because, of course, they did.
Because everybody else was doing it, and that's where the money was.
So in 1990, initial construction on Metrolink's first line from St. Louis Lambert International Airport, a station which I will be using.
Ooh. To go to the airport?
To East St. Louis, a station which I will be bypassing when I ride the entire system, began construction. Yes. I completely lost because I was still laughing too hard about BDSA. construction was completed on time and on budget in 1994 and proved to be massively popular, driving near... Oh my god. I can't do it today. Driving demand from nearby committees. Construction was completed on time and on budget in 1994 and proved to be very popular, driving demand from nearby communities for further expansions.
Shocking that something that was so popular is popular again.
Wow. Woke.
I know. How could this happen? Almost as though they were running 7.5-minute headways on this thing.
Whoa, cause and effect instead of effect and cause?
Yeah, and like running decent feeder bus service, and like St. Louis was... not quite so economically hauled out as it is now.
You mean ridership doesn't just appear out of the void?
It doesn't, interestingly.
Wow.
So, in 2001, they brought Metrolink service deeper into Illinois, adding 8 new stations to Southwestern Illinois College, another station which I will be bypassing. And then in 2003, another 3.5-mile extension opened to Shiloh Scott Air Force Base, which is, to my knowledge... the only military base in North America with a dedicated rail station.
I guess the Pentagon's not technically a military base. Mm-hmm.
That's a civilian facility. That's Department of Defense.
Very
cool. So, checkmate, liberals. Maybe, I feel like, okay, here's my thing. Uh-huh. As far as, like, military bases go, the entire city and metropolitan area of San Diego is basically a military base. Mm. And so I feel like the trolley may count.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
It's cool intentionally building something other than a road and like a 20 lane toll plaza to a military base. So, good for them.
The cross county extension in 2006 brought 8 miles of track to St. Louis County, which is west of St. Louis, bring the Metrolink system to its current extent. And then they rebranded it to the Red and Blue Lines in 2008. And that is it. That is all that has ever happened on Metrolink. I wonder if the year 2008 is significant in any way.
Oh, I forgot for a second. Every time it's streetcars, yada, yada, yada. 2008, yada, yada, yada.
Nothing.
Almost as though American cities are American cities and share a sort of
share an America history.
Yeah.
Share an economy.
The economy.
And its consequences.
Donald Trump doesn't know anything about that.
What no, is doesn't. The economy?
The economy is the exchange of goods and services.
Between you and me.
And many other people.
Yeah. Well, would this be a good we're providing for the listeners?
We are... I think we would be classed as a service, because entertainment is normally a service.
We're servicing our listeners.
I don't like that phrasing.
Anyway.
So, what makes Metrolink special? Quick rundown. It is unique because, unlike most other, systems in the United States, it operates basically entirely using pre-existing right-of-way.
That is unusual. Usually other systems at least grab, some street median.
Mm-hmm. Especially downtown, right?
But they've got, old downtown streetcar right-of-way or something?
Wrong!
Right
underground?
Yeah, so there's this big bridge over the Mississippi called the Eads Bridge, which was built a very long time ago.
Gorgeous bridge.
And the bottom half of it is a rail bridge that was used for freight until... I want to say the 1960s, and then was abandoned for a while.
No way.
There was also a freight subway built under downtown St.
This
Louis.
This is starting to ring a bell.
Okay. And so they repurposed this freight subway and just sort of dug up parts of it to build the stations and repurposed the freight subway to go under downtown St. Louis. And then they used the bridge that already had existing tracks to cross the river.
I recall we covered that in some depth in the original episode.
So. Yeah, because Rice is very excited about the...
Understandably so.
The bridge and such.
So they were able to use that and rehabilitate it somehow.
Yeah, and interestingly, they also used some new cut and cover tunnels.
New cut and cover in my 1990?
Yeah. This was for an extension, though, not for the original.
New cut and cover in my 2000s?
I know. Wild, right?
Doesn't the original tunnel have issues on occasion?
Not so much, actually. So much? It's really in quite good shape.
Had issues. They fixed them.
Yeah, I love we'll that. Get to.
Imagine fixing your issues.
And a lot of the rest of the other system, because it uses this old, actually quite important right-of-way, is in, cuts, open cuts.
So you get real nice bridges.
Yeah, so just lots of bridges over your
And
over
bridges
your system.
That they don't have to pay for when building light rail, because they're already there.
So there's no street running
at all. This is amazing.
This is just a light metro.
More cities should have ancient reusable freight tunnels through their downtown.
Well, look, this model is not entirely applicable to every city
to
in America.
Basically anywhere else.
But if you build when you first build your system that 2-mile subway and just eat the cost, you're going to end up with a much better system.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we didn't do that. And so.
Of course, we didn't do that one.
Except Edmonton. God bless them.
And then you get into a positive feedback loop with more ridership and more extensions instead of downtown just being slow for forever.
Yeah. I mean, it's not perfect. A lot of the outer system is, your bog standard suburban train through fields and rides, but,
That is what you get for using existing right-of-way in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm. Also notable that all this really allowed them to cut down on the cost snake, because when you're building in existing right-of-way, it's really freaking cheap most of the time.
Right, because a lot of cost escalation is due to right-of-way acquisition.
Right, and building in streets is actually much more expensive than people think it is, because you have to do
utilities,
all this utility relocation.
Utilities. You got to do phase
construction.
You
have to widen the street a lot of times because DOTs don't like to lose lanes.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada.
Crazy phasing. Mm-hmm. It's not even funny. So, as opposed to the right-of-way, which you just have to deal with the crossings.
Right, which is fairly easy.
And who gets to complain that you're turning a train track into a different train track?
Literally nobody. And there are a lot of, even outside of the downtown tunnels, there are a lot of, interesting spot grade separations on Metrolink that you wouldn't expect.
Cool.
I'd recommend you sort of take a look at the system and see, where they've sort of strategically grade separated it. So, St. Louis today, the recession, very negative impact on public transportation in St. Louis. A lot of bus cuts, ooh, most of which it has still not entirely recovered from.
Rip. What's their main funding mix? So fares, obviously, but what's the tax? Sales tax?
Fares, sales tax, sales tax. Urban St. Louis city contributions.
Oh, and city contributions. Ouch. All of those very vulnerable to 2008.
Yeah.
Mr. President, another 2008 is at St. Louis.
They also built the worst streetcar ever in history.
I don't...
There's no, a lot of no bars so out
there. No, we're going to look at this. I want you to click on the link and scroll down to 2024 ridership and tell me what it is.
Is that for a whole year?
Correct.
Was it open all year?
Uh-huh.
The number is 12,350 for the whole year of 2024.
What?
And that's 44% more from the previous season?
Uh-huh.
Okay. There's no way this is, like, actually open.
Well, and you see, so here's the thing. So the Del Mar Loop is a kind of happening part of an area near St. Louis, an inner ring suburb, if you will. And so they decided to build from the Metrolink station a 2.5-mile historic streetcar.
It's Thursday through Saturday, April through October.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And not particularly good hours either. As I recall, it's like 12 to 4 or something.
What? This is
so...
There are museums with better hours.
Yeah,
this.
So when they built it, they're like, this is going to get huge ridership. And then it didn't because it's a stupid historic streetcar line, not even in the city center. And so it closed down a year after it opened. But then the federal government told them that they couldn't do that. And that they would require them to pay back the $50 million it cost to build this thing if they didn't operate it in some capacity. They got a grant for it.
That would do it.
And so...
Some capacity.
In February 22, the Bi-State Development Board, also known as St. Louis Metro, decided to sort of, and I'm doing air quotes here, reopen it to the public so that they would not have to pay back $50 million.
Oh.
Thus creating the worst streetcar service of all time.
True.
I am going to try my darndest to ride this thing while I'm there, but it is, like, I do have a conference schedule and I don't have a ton of free time, so...
It shouldn't be hard to get on it. This is just, like, an expensive museum.
Literally museums in motion. So the worst streetcar in the United States, probably.
Okay, you've sold me.
And then in 2022, a massive flood hit the system. The Blue Line primarily damaging more than 5 miles of right-of-way and causing $40 million in damage. The line operated at reduced speeds and single-tracked for almost 2 years until repair work was completed in 2024.
Last time we talked about it, this was underway.
Yeah, this was underway.
Yeah.
This was going on.
Ah.
And so now it's back up to full operating capacity. Wow, look at us go.
Cool.
Huge.
Look at St. Louis go, fixing their things.
Thank God they did it before 2025.
Yeah, because otherwise I would have had to deal with it. And I don't want that.
That's the only reason.
I also, they were apparently doing some tunnel maintenance over the last week because school's out and naturally this is the time when agencies do these sorts of things.
And summer concrete season as well.
And the construction for that stops today. So I missed having to take a bus bridge by like 2 days.
And now you personally get to be a tunnel foamer. Okay.
I do.
Thank you, Bi-State Development Agency, aka St. Louis Metro, for making Sophia's trip more enjoyable.
That's true.
And also providing transportation in St. Louis.
That's very true. So what's next for Metro? The North-South line, which we have talked about on several occasions. Unlike when we talked about St. Louis a few years ago, the North-South line has a little more momentum, or at least it did until a couple months ago.
As did everything.
Mm-hmm. So here's a little map. Planners finally determined a locally preferred alternative back in 2024, allowing the project to compete for federal grants. But it was a bit scaled back. Instead of a 17-mile line, the IOS would be 5.6 miles in length and constructed at a cost of $1.1 billion.
What? Is this elevated?
No, it is street running.
It's...
Because this is what it costs to build street running light rail in the year of our Lord 2025.
The cost... Wow. Like... I want to see. I know they're not done. They don't. They're definitely not at full design. They just have an alternative, but they've done an estimate. So I'd love to see what they're going to do to this street that makes it so expensive. I'm assuming full depth reconstruction, curb to curb, drainage, utilities, everything.
It still shouldn't cost that much.
No, it shouldn't. It still shouldn't.
But nevertheless, progress, right? Wrong, because just a couple months ago, back in April, St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer asked Metro to pause the project due to concerns over its cost and competitiveness.
Bruh. mayors, state governors, please stop pushing the play pause button.
She had a good reason to do this.
Yeah.
And that's because our country is currently run by an autocrat who hates public transit.
And grant anything is unlikely.
Yeah, and so...
Okay. But as a general rule, not very good for our elected leaders to be mashing the play pause button on the remote, because these are the sorts of delays that just make the cost bigger.
Folks will think back to the Baltimore and also the Purple Line episodes in Maryland. I can't remember the name of our villain governor, but...
These projects either need to... run at full speed from idea to construction, or they need to not. Anything in between, especially if you pause in the late planning stages and the environmental stages, just burns money.
I feel like I was so excited about the Climate Conservation Corps, which is obviously never going to happen. I feel like in 2028...
Biden's
I guess
it would be 2032. Biden's corpse, 2032.
Here's the thing. We are going to win 300, if, you know, provided there's still elections, Democrats are going to win 800 seats.
FDR too.
It's entirely possible, given how quickly Donald Trump has thrown this country down the shitter.
Mm-hmm. There's still 3.5 more years.
We're going into a recession. We're probably going into a forever war with Iran.
Hey, Trump's going to cancel you for saying that word.
Literally all of our allies.
We except are Israel.
Rapidly destroying civil liberties, creating a massive protest movement that is going to continue until this administration is over.
Third largest protest in
Israel is
in,
not our
in America's
ally.
History.
Israel is a friend of convenience at best. We have no official alliance with the state of Israel.
Yeah, because that would look bad.
Almost as though they are continually breaking all the treaties that they have to not, kill Palestinians for no reason.
We keep funding them doing that. Sounds like an allyship to me. We make sure they win Eurovision every year. Or at least come close.
Because this country is run by fucking evangelicals. That's why we keep funding Israel.
Why didn't they win Eurovision?
Because apparently the government of Israel really loves Eurovision as a propaganda tool to make them look a normal functioning country. So they will go to very great lengths to pull strings wherever they need to make sure that they look really good on Eurovision if not outright win.
Interesting. I'm surprised it's not just Europeans in Eurovision. But
yeah.
Australians are in Eurovision.
Well,
former British colony vision.
Hello.
You know, that works.
No, I don't need that.
Anyway.
No.
The CCC just needs a transit building branch. You get trained in construction of
we've yapped so hard about institutional knowledge and continuous building, and this is probably the easiest way to do that.
Yeah, have the feds do it.
We can't have the states doing it.
It depends on the state.
Localities have proven themselves utterly incapable of building transit. Therefore, the feds should do it.
And then going metro by metro area and building the projects, funding, and momentum you need to have continuous construction and institutional knowledge, and then fixing all of the contracting problems.
And also instituting an urban growth boundary in literally every city and abolishing zoning.
Starting this at the federal
Dunstan
level.
For president 2028. Well, for Congress. I won't be eligible for president.
Regular or cyborg?
Hmm?
Regular or cyborg?
Regular.
Okay.
As you know, I hate computers and AI.
Okay, fair enough.
But Larry and Jihad now. All right. So, why is ridership so bad if the system is so good? It's about 22,000 a day. Poor frequency. Metrolink used to run on a much higher frequency, but it now runs only every 20 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
But it's so good. What did it do to deserve this?
Before the recession, it ran every 10 minutes on both lines. Which 5-minute frequency downtown is not nothing.
And in a different future, maybe it would run every 7.5 on both lines, or every 5 in on both
Shalaw.
Lines.
Inshallah.
But alas, 2008.
Yeah. It's just a bad wait. And also, you know, it's really hard to grow ridership in a city where the population has consistently shrunk for some time, especially after Rona, and when you had massive cuts to your feeder bus network.
Ah.
It's fair.
Population spiral.
Mm-hmm. And so, that's St. Louis. I'm visiting. I will take pictures, and you will enjoy them.
That is a command.
Yes.
I wonder if they've got any strategies to address, like, long-term population decline. Like, Detroit's focus has been, like, this one guy doing massive redevelopments downtown.
Just one guy?
Pretty much. they've been doing pretty well for themselves. Well,
the trouble is that it's very sensitive, right? Because St. Louis is a minority-majority city, which is not terribly common in this country, by the way. Redevelopment can actually be gentrification there, especially since, for some reason, redevelopers don't like to just develop the trazillion empty lots that they have in the cities.
Develop empty lots and include, like, you know, 20% subsidized affordable housing, all redevelopment would probably be fine.
Well, even at St. Louis rent rates, you don't even need the affordability requirement. You're thinking in West Coast terms, Kyle.
Oh, sorry.
This is St. Louis, where you can get like a one-bedroom apartment for like $400 a month.
Really?
Damn. So they just need to...
In the city.
They just need to get in the big-name developers on empty lots instead of blowing up
the trouble
black
is there's
people.
No demand.
Mm.
Because there is like what we have in the West Coast and what we're used to in the West. We're used to having an excess of demand and insufficient supply, so housing costs a lot of money in literally every West Coast city. Versus in St. Louis, there is plenty of supply but no demand. And so housing is really cheap, but so also there's no reason to build anything.
So how do you make demand to live in St. Louis?
Jobs, which one wants to move to St. Louis because...
There aren't any right now.
And nobody wants to move their jobs to St. Louis because they would rather have it in a place where people want to live.
Feedback
loop. And so it's a sort of feedback loop of negative stuff for a lot of these sort of impoverished
cities. It feels like most cities just do this entirely off sheer dumb luck.
They do. Very few cities are intentional about it anymore. Back in the 1800s, cities were very intentional about trying to, like...
Here is why you should move here.
We need to grow. We need to become the new New York, right? And nobody wants to do that anymore.
See, if your goal is to be the second New York...
Except for suburbs. Suburbs love to grow, which is part of the problem.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's go to some Ask Me Anythings, shall we?
Oh, yeah. These are from our Redline and Frontrunner tier patrons who get to submit these whenever we ask for them. One of the big benefits. we've got two this month for our inaugural...
Inaugural?
Yeah, I can't really say it either.
For that. For our inaugural return to recording together. So we'll start from the top. Nebula asks, what agencies do you think UTA could learn a thing or two from and how? Vice versa?
UTA could learn from basically everyone about how to maintain track.
True.
You ride TriMet, you ride Muni, you ride BART,
ride flat.
Sound Transit, whatever. It's always just like a very smooth ride. And you get on any UTA train on any piece of track and it's like... Or
this amuses me because especially after major maintenance, like they had a month-long Fashion Place to Murray Central closure, did a bunch of major switch and track work, and it was still kind of bumpy after.
I saw they were placing the curves on 400 again.
They're doing like some minor work on that. They've got the whole line up to the university shut for 2.5 months.
Yes.
Is it going to be smooth after? No.
Certainly
it'll
not.
It'll never be smooth. Because
they don't know how to use a freaking
curve.
Rail grinder.
No, they don't appear to. And then Frontrunner is closed one day out of the week every week.
And they don't do maintenance on Sundays. That is a complete lie that they do maintenance on Sundays.
Yeah.
I used to work there. Never once heard of them doing maintenance on Sundays.
And like on tracks, one of the big issues is switches and all the freight turnoffs and crossovers. Those are pretty bumpy. Maybe they just need to buy better switches. On Frontrunner, the switches are fine. The issue is the straightaways that they just need to use the track tamper on. And they have a whole day every week to do that.
And they own one.
Great.
They should hire me to figure out how to use it.
Couldn't go worse than whatever the heck they're doing now.
track maintenance. So what cities could learn from UTA?
Ooh.
I think one of the big things that could be learned...
I think we have learned in this city finally how to build BRT without expanding roads.
No, we haven't.
Yes, we have. Second South.
Oh. Well, that's not a UTA project.
It kind of is, though.
If you let UTA touch a BRT, it turns into a road widening.
That's only because they only build BRT on state roads.
True. No, but that's a great example of not building a BRT, instead building bus lanes to be used by numerous routes that turn in and out of the lanes and that don't involve a road.
If only they had put up wires. Only they such a great wires. Charging in motion corridor, man.
Whoa, Red Line Podcast mentioned. Another thing UTA, the organization, is actually pretty exemplary at is rail project delivery. Frontlines was a great example of this. The original tracks was a great example of this. They do very good corridor preservation and right-of-way acquisition, like years, decades in advance. When
probably centuries in a couple cases. Like
it feels like it. Like some future extension is like a twinkle in some planner's eye.
And they're like, all right, buy the track.
Yeah. And then when it comes time to even like have the public talking about it, let alone do environmental, they already own all the key stuff, and then they don't get extorted by the freight railroads, mm-hmm. and they don't have to fight with like individual property owners. And then on Frontlines especially, they use a very conventional contracted approach to project delivery, which has been a problem for a lot of other places. UTA bundled all of the Frontline extensions into like one big environmental design and construction process instead of having like three or four or five separate ones. And that seems to have ironed out a lot of kinks in the traditional like NEPA design contracting process.
Woke.
Because instead of having the inefficiencies three or four times, you have them once.
Oh, how curious.
Yeah, I think they could learn from Link just on actually building stuff.
Yeah, in terms of what infrastructure they build, and then they could learn from Link. But a lot of that is more our state being utterly unwilling to fund anything, and Seattle being
it would be very expensive to build a new subway under Salt Lake City.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah,
especially because we have a really high water table.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, and a lot of gravity-fed underground water systems that you'd have to pump down and then back up.
Now an L.
Now we're talking.
Well, we can't have elevated structures in downtowns because we're stupid. So
we are stupid.
We also might accidentally dig up some wooden pipes downtown.
That would be funny.
No, imagine. Okay, imagine though. City Creek, right?
Uh huh.
You pedestrianize the portion of Maine, and then just above it, you can get into the mall from just directly from the station via the sky bridge.
So we build an L, except you still get to walk across the tracks to leave the platform. That's the most UTA thing ever.
No. I presumably there would be a mezzanine.
Oh, I forgot you can have mezzanines. I've been living in Utah for too long.
See, I wish we just had like hover cars, like hover trains.
Okay, Alex, next question, please.
Canceled. Okay, Jesse Mayo asks, what's the hardest part of making a podcast? Today it was plugging in all the damn microphones and making my computer record multiple microphones at once.
Trying to, like, I don't know. The trouble with North American Transit is it's so samey.
Yeah.
With a couple exceptions.
Trying to talk about something new each
like,
episode.
Like, there are three types of transit system in America. There's new built light rail, there is Great Society's Metro, and there is Old Metro, and those are it.
Pretty much,
and
yeah.
And they all have the exact same story.
Sometimes we talk about none of the above.
True.
A half-assed bus system.
Oh, Boise. Yeah, CT Fast Track.
Oh, LLL. Boise, for example.
That's true. That's when I get bored.
but then we talk about that in the light of new build light rail.
Yes, we do, because that would be the thing that Boise needs. So
well, and then the other problem is nobody is ever actually building anything in this damn country because we're a bunch of wusses with no civilian conservation corps.
Right, and we can't talk about new things that much because there's like a new thing every year, not like China where they're like new thing every week or whatever.
So when you're writing these, it is quite a struggle to figure out what to cover, as much as we love griping about streetcars.
Yeah, the same story.
God, do we.
You know, if we started that New York series.
Oh, Kyle, do you want me to burn out on this podcast? Like,
no.
That's like a... Oi. All right.
Sophie's crashing out. We haven't even started. And by we, I mean her, because I do no writing for these at all.
You do write the videos.
Oh, true.
All right. Shall we conclude the episode?
Oh, yeah. Conclusions.
Let me pull up patrons, too. It's almost like we need a projector to, like, throw up on the wall, and then we can all just sit in a row.
That would be clever.
Well, I'll do the conclusion,
and then Kyle will send it to me.
Just in time.
Just in time delivery. Thank you for listening. Please remember to like, comment, and subscribe if you're listening on YouTube, and to follow and leave us a rating on iTunes and/or Spotify. If you like what we do here, consider becoming a member on Patreon. Patrons receive early access to all of our regular content, as well as exclusive content and occasional merch drops.
Real.
Speaking of patrons. Well,
speaking of merch, working on new merch right now.
Yeah.
I'm logging Discord. Give me a shit, you
just
know.
Just give it here.
3 seconds. 3 seconds.
One, two, three.
Sent.
Okay.
Wow.
At Frontrunner tier, $10 or more per month, we have Zach Adams, Aaron, Curtis Herring, Devin Zander, Phobos2390, and Tony Stuntza.
At Redline, $5 a month, we have Christopher Whaley, DJ.
Hi, Will.
Watkins. Wow, that was so fast.
Crazy.
Elijah Kinsler, Isaac Madsen, Jesse Mayo, Kyle Irvin.
Hi, other Kyle.
Nebula, a reluctant LA resident, Robert P. Walsh, and Zephyr Zamora. Jeez, you guys are coming in.
Slay. At Blue Line Tier, $3 a month, we have Alex Dykelski, Ben, Ethan McDonald, Evelyn, G4, Jack McCoskey, Litmus Zest, Martine Hacker Martinez, Matt Gray, McKay Ransom, Oliver, Sam Myers, Sky Lakowski, Toronto Transit Channel, and Zach Verstott.
And at Green Line Tier, $1 per month, we have Benjamin Wood, Joshua S. Horvath, Kapil, Ryan Bailey, and William Rowe.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Shall we kill the recording?